This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick to 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's UnderdogFantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789.
You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network, with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 112. Today is Thursday, August 10th, and it is desperate times. So we've got a show dedicated to the desperate ads that could help your fantasy baseball teams down the home stretch. Steve, it's that time of year where it's looking pretty thin out there. And unfortunately, it might just be me, but I feel like there is a lot of injury coinciding with what's already a thin waiver wire. So this feels like the scramble to the top of the mountain. A lot of things can go wrong if they haven't already for your teams. And that's why we're doing this show today, to look at where we can find any possible glimmer of hope. And the good news is there's a nice list of names here with a wide array of roster ship percentages, so it should be a lot of fun. We're going to talk through about as many names as we have all year on an episode, so it's going to be a little bit lightning style, but very excited to have you guys with us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I am at Van_verified, and Steve is at Stav8818. Steve, I know we were talking offline, man. I have the injury bug, and a lot of my teams are still in it. So this is a very relevant episode for me today. But how are we doing out there, man?
Yeah, it's definitely desperate times, and there's definitely been a lot of injury bugs going around, especially on the pitching side. But that being said, it's also like that guy did what in August and September time, right? Like, It's easy to get lost in the shuffle because guys have a large bulk of plate appearances, and a hot 2 weeks doesn't swing the stat line as much, and it's harder to see on the surface numbers, and you really have to dig down into it and look into splits, even though that can get messy. But hey, when you're looking for desperate ads and for streaky guys or for surprising guys for the stretch run, that's what you have to do. And I think we have a list of really, really good names, which is fun. I'm excited to get into it. And yeah, like you said, a long one. So excited to talk some names and maybe give you some guys that could still be out there. I know that that's kind of what inspired this episode with your injury bug and some guys that you scrambled to add and some sneaky good performances. So maybe we'll uncover a few more.
So I'd say it's a funny story, but it's more laughing while crying. That I went on an Ozarks bachelor party, which is big in the Midwest, Steve. It's kind of the go-to where people hit the Ozarks.
I've seen the show.
Okay. Yeah, it's not quite as dark or like drug heavy in real life, but it is. It's a party spot. You get on the boats, all that. It's one of my best friends getting married. So a lot of fun. While that was happening, you're glimpsing at your roster. You're not doing too many deep dives until I saw that I had Joe Musgrove, Joe Ryan both hit the IL, and I'm like, you know, two weeks away from the playoffs. So I'm thinking I got to bolster my roster. Saturday morning, I wake up in the Ozarks and see that a manager has offered me Carlos Rodon, a healthy Carlos Rodon, for my Christian Encarnacion Strand. And I have a lot of bats, and I just had the two guys go down on the IL. I accept the trade and make like two other corresponding moves to the roster, and Rodon gets on the IL as well. So now I'm very depleted on pitching. Luckily, I added Chase Silseth on Saturday, and that's probably our segue, because we don't want to wallow about my roster the whole show, that Silseth is the first name that we were going to talk through here. So Silseth, it couldn't have worked out better. And you called it early on this season, Steve, when we brought him up. I remember the awful phonetic pun of Chase Filthseth, but he has been lately. In his past three starts since rejoining the rotation, 17 and two-thirds innings, 26 strikeouts, including the 12 strikeout outing on Sunday. Just three walks in that time, a 2.04 ERA. So Silseth is definitely surging here, and just 27% rostered in Yahoo, surprisingly. Numbers up quite a bit higher on Fantrax at 50%, but talk to me about Silseth. He's got the Astros this week. That'll be a big test, but it does seem like, in a way, he's kind of turning a corner in a way that we were hoping guys like his teammate, Reed Detmers, would, who is also on my roster. So talk to me about why I can be a little excited about the backfill here.
Every time I see him, I still call him Chase Filthseth. I don't know if that was our pun or if that's a Nick Pollock thing, but
you mentioned something on the Discord.
Discord, yeah. But yeah, he does have really good stuff. And since he came back into the rotation post All-Star break, he has a new slider with increased usage. There's less velo and more movement on it. He's throwing his fastball a bit harder, and he has a split finger, which has been amazing and gets a ton of whiffs. I know split fingers and changeups don't grade out that well on Stuff Plus, and Nick Pollock rightfully isn't as big a fan of a split finger as other pitches because it's so hard to control. So that could lead to some of the volatility with Silseth, but he does look like a different pitcher over the last three starts. 27 Ks in 17 innings, like anyone that does that over any stretch deserves your attention, and you pair that with just three walks, and I'm super interested. I'm actually kind of excited that he has Houston this weekend, because not because it's obviously a hard matchup, and you know I wouldn't expect like the results that he had the last few starts, but it might be people might look at it and say, okay, hey, thanks for the stream. I am not going to start you versus Houston, but I would definitely start him versus the Rays and then the Mets and A's, like you said, with his schedule. The Rays on the road are a totally different animal than at home. So if you can hold him through Houston, if you don't have to start him, that's great. You know, in deeper leagues, I'm still starting him. I think this was his last start Monday, or was that part of a two-start week? I'm forgetting.
I think it was Sunday.
Okay, so it wasn't a two-step this week. So you'll have the luxury of just benching him in like those weekly leagues. I'm sure many people already did because of that matchup. But, you know, he might have got dropped in shallower leagues because it's a tough matchup. And rosters where, you know, 10, 12 team leagues where you're churning and burning, it could provide an opportunity to scoop him up, throw him on your bench, or start him if you're in a head-to-head league. If you need strikeouts and have your ratios locked up one way or the other, it's still a good play. The K's have been there in bunches, obviously.
Yeah, and obviously the volume is low at just 36 and a third innings on the season, but if he qualified in terms of the season-long stats, his pitcherless page has his 57% ground ball rate is eighth in the majors. So that is great to see in addition to the strikeouts. You know, the Angels is always a little bit frustrating from like a volume standpoint, but yeah, the swing and miss stuff, his CSW would be 13th in the league. And yeah, really promising for a guy who's just 23 years old. So if he does get touched up a bit against the Astros on the road, he also has the Rays next week. So that might be, you know, kind of a bleak write up on like his notes page. People might drop, but I would add if he does look, you know, okay against the Astros or the Rays, because after
Rays
that, he's
on the
got...
road. Rays on the road are a lot different than at home. They're much better at home offensively.
That's true. And then after that, he's got the Mets on the road and the Athletics on the road. So it's going to look better probably on like the, you know, either in your head-to-head playoffs or down the home stretch of your regular season. So Silseth should stick around in the rotation even after Griffin Canning gets healthy, if as long as he doesn't completely implode. So very good bet. Again, just 27% rostered in Yahoo. Moving right along, Cole Reagans, another guy who kind of caught us all by surprise, where his last outing looked terrific. At that one, I believe, what, another double-digit strikeout? Was it 10 or 12 that he had?
11, I think. You split the difference between
that. Split the difference. So at the Red Sox, 6 2/3 innings of scoreless ball with an 11-strikeout outing. 1.35 ERA, 0.75 whip there at the Red Sox. And Reagans came over to the Royals in that Aroldis Chapman trade. And since he's been with Kansas City, he has had 22 strikeouts over 17 2/3 and a 1.02 ERA. So, Steve, did you have a beat on Cole Reagans? Because this name is brand new to my Rolodex, and I'm trying to grasp like what kind of pitcher we're looking at here.
Not to toot my own horn, but I did, and mostly because of the Pitcherless Discord. Another shameless plug to join there. It's well worth it because you know about guys like Cole Reagans in April when he doesn't even have good results in the minors. But the stuff has been impressive, and like, you know, when he was brought up as a bulk guy for Texas, got a few starts here and there, people were interested, and rightfully so, with the results that we're seeing now. But you know, the velocity and the raw stuff was interesting. He has a really nasty changeup, 5-pitch mix, and he added a slider when he moved to Kansas City. You don't think of that, you know, Kansas City with all of their failed pitching prospects. You don't think of them as a team that could, you know, tweak a pitcher's arsenal and have a breakout. But hey, it's happening with Reagans and the Royals. Only 27 sliders thrown over his three starts, but it's got a 47.1% whiff percentage. So basically, half the time batters are swinging at it, they're missing. The changeup is just absolutely insane. Again, you're not going to see the amazing stuff plus grades on that because of the changeup, but go watch the condensed game or the 11 strikeout highlight on like the MLB at-bat app for Reagans, and you'll just see like this hard dropping changeup and then, you know, cutters and fastballs dotted at the top of the zone. There was also a great like breakdown from Nick Pollock where he was just like screaming yes the whole time. That was basically his analysis watching that Reagan start versus the Red Sox. So I am absolutely in on both Silseth and Reagans. I'd probably lean Reagans a little bit more just because I think the arsenal is a little bit deeper, there's more fastball velocity, and I think, you know, I think it's a higher floor. Both these guys might have, that being said, both these guys might have low floors just because we've seen that recently with Silseth and Reagans where they're like not usable in major league rotations, but it looks like breakouts are happening for both these guys. I would just slightly lean Reagans.
Yeah, the walk rate for both of them is a little bit of a concern, north of 10%. Reagans, like you said, had the development of a slider in Kansas City is pretty crazy. But he kind of slipped under the radar. Him having nine starts in 2022, if that's right. And hey, Steve, right here, you talked last week about the Savant similar pitcher thing and how we don't read too much into that. Good thing, because they got my boy on there for Cole Reagans, Humberto Castellanos, 2022. One of the worst calls I've had on the show with you know, a GIF-worthy curve for Castellanos. But yeah, Reagans, I mean, it looks impressive, honestly. A lot of the swing and miss stuff and just the depth of his pitch mix. You know, this could be a really good kind of sleepy name in the offseason if he has a sure rotation and – you know, just watching in the off season, because this time of year some people are checked out. So yeah. this is a good one.
If both of these guys have, you know, not saying that they're going to repeat their last, you know, three starts and 17 innings each, but if they have like a mid-threes ERA with good strikeouts, like, they're going to be very interesting names for the back end of drafts next year.
Yeah,
they probably already are. Like, honestly,
with
this much of a sample, like, I'm already interested for this year and beyond.
Yeah, that's enough. And trying to look at like what's changed. I mean, the massive velo bump on the fastball from 92 miles per hour last year to 96.2 average velocity this year. And the whiff rate's gone from 12% up to 25.5%, which is great for a fastball. So, yeah, like it for Reagan's, 25 years old, and we'll see what he does from here with the Royals. His upcoming starts, for those interested in the stream, versus the Cards, at the Cubs, at the Athletics, and then home against the Pirates. So, really nice lineup
juicy
there, to be honest.
At home,
yeah.
Two, I think, in two of those starts, so... In pitching in Kansas City versus those teams,
yeah,
the Cardinals and Cubs are good offenses. You know, depending on your word, good, your definition of good. But I'm still starting him basically in all of those games.
Yeah, and you'll again, kind of same as Silseth. If the Cards and the Cubs kind of go wobbly and somebody drops the added. Just know you got the Athletics and the Pirates after that, so it would be a nice little bounce back for Reagan. So, speaking of the Cubs, the next one we wanted to hit on is not an up-and-comer. It's Jameson Taillon, who, 40% rostered in Yahoo, much higher in Fantrax at 73%. But Taillon is coming off of a terrific outing on Tuesday versus the Mets. Seven innings of two-run ball, seven strikeouts, and a .43 whip for Taillon. So... From June 2nd, his last 12 starts, he has looked terrific. For Taillon standards, because it's kind of found money for a guy who's very much in the glob. But Steve, talk to me about Jameson Taillon. Do you think this is a steady enough streamer down the home stretch where, you know, you could get away with plugging him in the rotation for some starts?
He has been a great back end of the fantasy rotation option since June 2nd, and it's pretty much hard to tell that because I think like his season ERA is still like well above five, which is crazy because since June 2nd in those 12 starts, 69.2 innings pitched, he's had a 3.88 ERA. So close to 70 innings of a 3.88 ERA and his season long is still over five. Like that goes to show you how bad he was in the first 2 months of the season. And he's still out there like in my 14 team home league, like he's been streamed here and there, but he's still out there and, like, I think should be a decent option and rostered. And Fantrax, I know there's a lot of daily leagues on Fantrax, so that ownership percentage changes a good amount. And that start versus the Mets was Tuesday as we record this on Wednesday night. So that was probably bumped up. I think it's a two-start week, too, so that's why that's a little inflated. So he might be available in more leagues. And hey, after this two-step, if you know people are you know wham bam thank you ma'am and throw him back to the wire, it's still something to pay attention to. You know, it's not going to be the K's. It's just the 57 K's in 69 innings. 19 walks isn't great either. But there's been seven wins because the Cubs have been good. Four quality starts and. You know, hey, you'll take 69 innings of a 3.88 ERA. It's not going to hurt your ERA in good matchups. It should help your ratios. And there's some good win factor in there as well. So I think Taillon is worth a second look despite the ghastly surface stats and year-long numbers for him.
Yeah, and the April, May, just looking at some tweaks there, he was throwing the sinker like 16% of the time, 20% of the time. And then since that hot stretch that you're talking about, Steve, it's not really a streak at this point. It's, you know, almost 2.5 months here. The sinker, he cut it at least in half. It's been around 7%. So really ditch that in favor of his fastball and cutter. And yeah, those have been good pitches. I mean, in you know, the past month, the fastball's got like a 188 batting average against. So that's good signs that he's making tweaks. And honestly, it's surprising just because Tyone was so good and then he had the long injury absence. Kind of forget that he's just 31 years old. Like, to me, I know we were just talking about James Paxton last week, who's, I think, 34 or 35. Like, I almost lumped the two together. But Tyone, he might still have some mileage on him. So, yeah, I'm looking at the 5.17 ERA that you're talking about, and, like, I don't think that really shows what kind of pitcher he is, that now that he's finding his groove a little bit. So I like it for Tyone, and he's another guy who's got – some tasty matchups. He's got the White Sox next, then it's at Detroit, and then it's at Pittsburgh, and then he goes to Cincinnati against the Reds, which is a little bit of a tough one. But yeah, definitely some stream worthy and possibly beyond that for Jameson Tyone there. Moving on to Cutter Crawford, who, yeah, we've been excited about Crawford for a while just because of the swing and miss and the upside, but he's another one that just doesn't, like, whether it's Tanner Houck or Cutter Crawford, like, it seems like they've got guys who are knocking at the door with potential, but it's not really panning out compared to like a Brian Bayo or guys like James Paxton that have found results. So Crawford, 38% rostered in Yahoo leagues, 59% in Fantrax. But talk to me about Crawford, Steve, because it's still a guy that you see out there and you kind of light up at the chance of getting like a 7-8 strikeout game that could really help you in a week.
Yeah, I'm still excited about Crawford. The swing and miss is just so good, and I'm just a sucker for that. Like, the last game on Tuesday versus the Royals is like a perfect example. He just went 3.1 innings pitch, 3 earned runs, but he had 6 strikeouts and was the leader in the day, you know, on the Baseball Savant, like, leaderboards. He had the most swing and misses in just 3.1 innings pitch. He had 20 of
them. That's crazy.
That, like, sums up Cutter Crawford to a T. But I'm just always going to be a sucker for these types of profiles. Like, there are some red flags. The velocity's fallen off since he's coming into the rotation and switched from the pen and really hasn't been able to go very deep into games. But, you know, he's increased the cutter usage. That's led to more whiffs, and like, it's just a great strikeout play. Like, it just seems like guys like this are always one tweak away from unlocking how to get through like that second turn in the order. Like, you know, it reminds me of like pre-breakout Freddy Peralta, right, where he had like this one pitch that he was striking out a bunch of people but couldn't go more than a few innings, couldn't make a turnover the lineup. But you know, it's hard because sometimes those guys are just meant for the bullpen and to be a bulk guy. But until that's like the book is written on that, I'm still going to be interested in taking flyers on Cutter Crawford. Like, I saw in a lot of leagues he was dropped after that Royals start. And, you know, I might be right back in considering the amount of whiffs that he's able to get in just three innings and a third.
Yeah, and the Royals have some kind of streaking hitters right now. Yeah, we'll talk about them on the back half of the show. But before that outing, it was at Seattle, 5 scoreless, 5 Ks. And before that, at the Giants, where he got the win and had 7 strikeouts in 5 2/3. So, and just 1 run given up on that one. So, yeah, I like it here. Unfortunately, in terms of the streaming, you do have the Tigers and then at the Yankees, which is nice, but it's kind of the inverse of Silseth and Reagan's, where he's got 2 good ones and then he's got at Houston and then home against Houston. So it might be better to look near term for Crawford, and he'd really have to kind of prove that he's turning the corner for me to have confidence like going into the playoffs and rolling him out there against the Astros back to back. But yeah, I'm with you on the big picture, though, Steve. It definitely feels like any number of those names. I mean, even like Jesus Luzardo or you know, pre-breakout, where it's like you see some of these outings that, you know, 7 Ks and 5 innings, things like that. And yeah, I mean, he's got a pretty deep arsenal as well, which is nice. It's not just like a a one pitch or a two pitch pitcher. So I think Crawford has potential, and he's still got time to put it together. I mean, 27, he's not too young, but like you said, he's just getting used to, I mean, he hasn't even had 30 starts in his career. So I think we got to give him a little bit of a grace period there. So moving on to a San Francisco Giants, Ross Stripling, who is just 18% rostered in Yahoo leagues, 45 in Fantrax. And Stripling, you double take when you look at the Giants rotation, because I think they have three listed starters right now. And it's like, what, like, I have no idea what's happening out there, Steve. Are they just doing openers?
And they're a contending
and they're
good
competing
team.
Yeah, crazy.
It's like just the Rays of the West.
Yeah, and then some. It's just three starters kind of listed. So anyway, Stripling, for all the mediocrity we've seen, he's on another little stint here of giving us hope of the days of old. Past four starts, 26 and a third innings, a 3.42 ERA, and 21 strikeouts in that time. So not quite the K percentage you're looking for, but still we're looking for help anywhere we can find it. And like you said, it's a good team there. Do you see reason for hope with Ross Stripling here, or is it kind of, you know, deep in the glob?
Stripling, like, always does this. He's such a tinkerer. I think there was a quote when he was with Toronto that, you know, he figured out something about, like, his windup or mechanics that was leading to tipping pitches, or, you know, there's always a tweak in his arsenal, like more fastball, less fastball, whatever the change is. There's always a tinker and then a good stretch, and I think this might be a good stretch for Stripling. You know, there's a lot of factors that, you know, aren't under his control that are beneficial. The fact that he pitches half his game in San Francisco, has a good team. So it's easy to get behind him as a stream, and maybe more of like a team streamer type of thing, what that Paul Spohr says with Ross Stripling, where you stream him in the good matchups and keep him on the bench for the tougher ones. But as far as what's actually going on, he's throwing the fastball less, throwing more changeups and more sliders and sinkers. The fastball on the velocity on the fastball is actually up a mile an hour from April, which is nice for a guy that isn't like a flamethrower or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Every mile an hour matters, so you like to see that. You know, he's throwing pitches that are doing better, more adding velocity. Those are things that you can get behind when you see a little stretch like this. And out of the 26 innings pitched over the last four starts, the most impressive thing to me is no walks, which is really, really helpful, especially for a guy that, you know, is a middling K rate, does give up some hits and homers. Like, if you can limit one aspect or one way of runners getting on, that's super, super helpful. So, yeah, I like Stripling, and he's got a decent upcoming schedule. Not too great, but also, you know, a few starts that you might want to throw him in, especially if you're looking for innings and maybe to help your ratios or to get a cheap win here or there.
Yeah, we're gonna find out with Stripling for sure, because the next one is home versus the Rangers, then home versus the Rays. But like you said, they're not quite themselves on the road. And then it's at Philly and home versus the Reds, which is better than at the Reds. So kind of a tough run. But if he does come out looking like he's continuing this good run against the Rangers, I'd probably be willing to say we've seen enough to where you could kind of look at him as, you know, no more than like an SP6 in your rotation. But a lot of teams need that right now. So, yeah, that's Stripling. I think it's one to watch, especially like you mentioned, Steve, with the pitch mix change, a less fastball, more of that changeup, which looks filthy. If you go out on Twitter and look at some of the GIFs out there, like that pitch is dialed in right now. So if he keeps the feel for that and can survive the Rangers, I think I'd be willing to go Rays, Phillies, Reds there. So moving to a Red, Brandon Williamson, kind of a deeper one here, just 9% rostered in Yahoo leagues, 37 in Fantrax. And yeah, Williamson has kind of been quietly really productive for the Reds with his last five starts. 28 and two thirds innings, 3.45 ERA in that time, and 26 strikeouts. So, you know, pretty close to a strikeout per inning. Talk to me about Williamson, Steve. I feel like he's probably the Red that gets slept on the most, at least on the pitching side. But reason for excitement here?
Yeah, the Reds have, like, somehow put together a viable, at least contending rotation without Hunter Green and without Nick Oddone, which is pretty crazy. And also Graham Ashcraft for, like, a stretch of the season, putting up, like, a 9 ERA. I know he's been a lot better recently. But credit to them, and Brandon Williamson's been a part of it at least recently. There's been some really impressive starts, a 9 strikeout outing versus Miami, a 7 strikeout outing versus the Cubs. So there's been some good stuff. There is some concern, though, with the walks. There's been 10 walks in those 28 innings. 4 of those, though, came in 5 and two-thirds innings pitched versus the Dodgers. So it's not all bad. And that start wasn't even that bad. I think he only gave up like 1 or 2 runs versus the Dodgers. But he's added a tick of velocity on the fastball and the cutter. The cutter's getting more whiffs. And it's probably a decent stream. You know, I know it's not great to have a back end of the rotation guy pitch in Great American Ballpark, but you know, like the title of the episode says, it's desperate times. So Williams is probably out there in your league, just 9% on Yahoo, 37% on FanTrack. So worth a stream at least in the good matchups, and he does have some good ones coming up.
Yeah, at Pittsburgh, home against the Blue Jays is a tough one there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, at the D-backs, which is tougher these days, but at the Giants. I think when I look at that, like, four-pack next to Ross Stripling and just these two players in general, I think I kind of lean Williamson
here. I think you're right. I think you're right, yeah.
Okay.
Based on matchups as a tiebreaker, definitely. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, and then if you threw Crawford in that mix, Steve, between Stripling, Williamson, and Crawford, how would you rank that three?
I mean, the back end at Houston versus Houston for Crawford. In a vacuum, I would go Crawford just for the K's, even though that's probably the riskier play just due to innings limitations with Crawford. But I like the K upsides. I'd have to stay away from the at Houston versus Houston and lean Williamson. But I think I would go Crawford over Stripling just because unless I like absolutely needed, you know, wins or and just ratios and not necessarily K's, then I would go Stripling. But I'd probably go Williamson, Crawford, then Stripling.
And then the first group, Silseth, Reagans, Tyone. How would you group that three or rank that three?
Reagans, Silseth, Talion.
Okay. Some honorable mentions we just didn't have time to squeeze in, guys. Emerson Hancock, the call up for the Mariners. He has more potential than he's been kind of playing up. I know he's been a big prospect name. Now in terms of us recording right now, I believe his debut is underway, and it looks like, yeah, he's already kind of having some trouble in the first inning. So we'll see what happens there for Emerson Hancock, but that's a good new name. And then also Wade Miley has been putting in some pretty good results for the Brewers. He's kind of in that ballpark of like Cutter Crawford range, but he might be available. And then timeline on John Means, which is a name. He's been cleared for a rehab assignment. I think they've got him projected end of August. But for, you know, roto leagues where you're playing all through September, just keep John Means on the watch list because we don't know what we're going to see for Means coming off of TJ. Probably, you know, going to be more just to get him some reps and they'll focus on next year. But, yeah, John Means always a tempting option as well. So we've got our hitters on deck here, folks, with the same kind of format, but we're going to take our first ad break, and we'll be right back. All right, so Steve, jumping into the hitters, we kind of teased out the Royals and how they've been on kind of a hot stretch. So we got to talk about a kind of a WAF name here, at least on the reserves. Michael Massey is someone that we've liked for a while, just for, in terms of the contact skills. You know, he usually has a decent plate discipline, and I believe he's a product of University of Illinois.
Yeah, fighting the line out here. Shout out to my sister's boyfriend Ross. He was a tennis player at Illinois.
Wow,
ILL. Went to, there you go. They went to the Sweet 16, I believe, his senior year. Oh, he'll have to correct me on that. But, yeah, I've been meaning to tell you that. But there you go. There's your news on
it came up on the show. Yeah, well, TJ, yeah. Our WAF faithful listener, is saying INI on the other side of this because he's an alumnus and a big fan. So Massey is who we're talking about, and he is hot in the past 30 days, an 815 OPS. The batting average in that time is a 230, but he's kind of had some tough luck with that. And yeah, in the past week or so, it's looked much better for Michael Massey. Steve, very, very available, just 3% rostered in Yahoo. And yeah, he's coming off of a 4-game hit streak. And as we record this, yesterday on Tuesday night, had a double, a homer, and 3 RBIs at Boston. So talk to me about Michael Massey. Do you think that there's a little bit of contribution he can give down the stretch?
Had another double tonight. I was actually at the Yankee game a few weeks ago versus the Royals with Ross. He's from Kansas City, so a Royals fan, and is obviously a fan of Michael Massey since he went to Illinois as well, and we saw him homer there. I think he talked about a swing change, not necessarily a swing change, but like just a methodology change where he was just trying to like drive the ball back over the middle, like the old cliche, and then, you know, let the power come from that. And it's really worked. Like you said, it's been just pretty unlucky as far as his batting average, and his OPS would be much, much higher considering he has the 6 home runs over the last 30 days. But our boy, this is another theme of this episode. Mike Kirlin has been basically tweeting about throughout the day. He did not have access to this rundown. He hasn't been a guest on the show. We'll have to invite him. But I was like, every name that I put on the rundown, he would like put out a breakdown.
He's all over.
He's all over. I'm like, everyone that we're want to talk about tonight, he's breaking down. And he had a great tweet about Michael Massey and the breakdown about how his, you know, strikeout and walk rate are much improved. The contact rate is way up. And yeah, he's basically just been getting unlucky with batted ball, balls in play, but he is really, really hitting the ball hard and becoming like, you can kind of see the Royals infield of the future forming with Bobby Witt, obviously another guy we talked about a bunch, Michael Garcia, and now Michael Massey, who's put together a really, really strong month here and should be on your radar. And definitely is someone that could help you in MI or even in a, you know, the second base spot if you need it there. I like Massey a lot and think that he could be a good contributor down the stretch here.
Yeah, on the Christian Mack IPA ideal plate appearance on pitcher list that counts barrels, solid, flare, and burners divided by the total plate appearances, Michael Massey is 36th in the league on the season for IPA. So he kind of does, you know, the ball player things well, and it might not light up on some of the traditional metrics, but yeah, there's definitely a good player in there, and he's just 25 years old. So yeah, that's a good deeper shout there for Massey. And an added bonus that I don't think we've mentioned is he's hitting third in the order. So, you know, you should for, you know, despite the Royals being kind of a tough lineup context traditionally, should get some decent volume and hopefully some good counting stats with the runs and RBIs for Massey. So let's jump over to Bryce Terang. It feels like a lifetime ago at the start of the season, Steve, where he was kind of a fab priority for a lot of people. And it completely tanked after that and had some pretty rough month-over-month splits. But it's looking like he's righting the ship. In the past couple weeks, he's at a 359 average with a 982 OPS. and hit two of his six home runs on the season. He also has three steals in that time. Terang's going to run a little bit with the Brewers, and he's got 14 steals on the season. So you can count on him being kind of a plus middle infielder in terms of speed, but it's looked so bad with the average on the season. He's just hitting 221, but that's looked a lot better recently. So Terang, 11% rostered in Yahoo, 40% on Fantrax. What are your thoughts overall on Terang here?
I think it's a good volume play for speed, and you know, a stretch like this, maybe a little bit of power, some good average. 815 OPS over the last 30 days. I mean, no, that isn't amazing, but for the Brewers, like, they're desperate for any sort of offense. So that's going to play for them.
For him, too. I think his OPS on the season is probably like 620 or something.
He's also an amazing fielder, so that should keep him in the lineup. So, yeah, I don't know if I'm as interested as Michael Massey, but, you know, Terang was a good prospect, and people were very interested in him. I think he had, a really, really good spring, if I remember correctly.
Good spring, and I think, like, the first three or four games.
Yeah. One of those, I think he hit a grand slam, right? Something like that.
I think so.
It's interesting, and, you know, sometimes this is how, like, a prospect's profile works, right? Like, they have a little bit of success, league adjusts, they have to adjust back, and that could be what we're seeing here with Terang.
Yeah, I dropped in the rundown, too, on his pitcher list on the Rolling Charts app, which is great. Got to check it out on the website. So his contact ability and power ability is no getting around it. It's below average. He's kind of just a slap hitter and needs to improve there. But his decision value, which kind of focuses on, like, is he swinging at the right pitches? Is he taking the right pitches? His rolling average kind of throughout the season has been, you know, barely above MLB average. But in the past, like, 150 plate appearances, or pitches, I should say, it's been 90th percentile in the league. So he's definitely, I guess you could say, developing his eye at the plate, which is what you want to kind of make the most of what little power and contact he has. So that's probably feeding into the 15 walks in the past 30 games. So maybe just a note, if you're in like a points league or an OBP or walks league, Terang definitely is doing something different in the past, past month or so. So that's Bryce Terang. Moving along to another middle infield option, J.P. Crawford is a guy who we've talked about recently. I have an affinity, as well as all the Mariners fans, because he's on my Raz Slam league, Steve, that is still up in the mix for the overall. And Crawford is just, he's a quiet contributor. He's probably a guy who's a better real-life player when you look at
perfect
where
for
he
a
writes.
Format like that, though, just right? Tons of at-bats, like consistent, decent average, high floor.
Absolutely. Great volume, but I mean, he's putting together a season in general. You know, it's not anything that lights up on a 5x5 league, but, you know, hitting 268. He's got 63 runs on the season, but in the past 2 weeks, he's got a 325 average with a 1041 OPS. In the past month, he's hitting 318. So J.P. Crawford is definitely on a hot streak that's kind of fueling the Mariners' run. Just 19% rostered for a guy who plays that often. And in addition to kind of the volume, he's also leading off every day for the Mariners. So talk to me about the actual skill set. Do we think there's some untapped potential here?
This, the rostership spread between Yahoo and Fantrax, 19% Yahoo and 69% Fantrax, like, tells you exactly everything you need to know about, like, the type of fantasy contributor that Crawford is. Like, he is not going to be rostered in, like, those daily Yahoo 12 team leagues with just one shortstop, but in the, anything deeper with the MI, like, he is perfect for that. Like, you put him in your MI and you forget him all year. Another Mike Kirlin tweet, another one. Since he was moved to leadoff on 624, so it's 177 plate appearances in the leadoff spot, so not a small sample, like, almost like a third of the year. He has six home runs, is slashing 315, 434, 524. So, like, you know, an 8 58 OPS, like, from J.P. Crawford. Like,
that's
nuts. You know, a lot of that is walk rate. He's walking 16.4% of the time in that span. 18.6% strikeout rate, which is good. And he's not, like, just pounding the ball into the ground. It's just a 38.7% K rate. The only issue is that he's just not running. Like, I don't think he has a steal on the year. Maybe he has one, which is kind of disappointing for that profile. You'd hope he would at least get to, like, close to double digits, but that doesn't seem to be happening. But, hey, I'll take the, you know, the mid-800s OPS over the last 177 plate appearances for J.P. Crawford. That is a sneaky good value.
Yep, another one that's, I would say, a point league specialist because he's got 68 walks on the year and just 85 strikeouts. So
you wish you would run with that on base skills, right? Like, you, and what's his, like, sprint speed? Like, I don't think
it's
like
a good question.
Slow.
Right, he's only got one steal in the year, like you said. So, yeah, that's a good question. And he's also not, what is he, probably like 28 years old? I'm trying to pull it up here.
Savano always takes a second. Yeah, he's 28. Great call.
Sprint speed 38th percentile.
Oh, wow. That is shocking. I did not think he. Maybe it's just, you know, a smaller slap hitter. I mean, small. He's 6'2.
Yeah, but in 2018, 2019, it was like 70th, 75th percentile. So, like, what's going on, man? Like,
61st in 2021. But the last 2 years, it's been down there. But yeah,
you're right, because if he added that to his game, it's almost like a prime Colton Wong type of thing or something. Yeah.
He's never had. What do you think the career high? He's never had more than six stolen bases in his career.
Are you looking at it?
Yeah, that's crazy. Never more.
Okay,
than six.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna guess. I would have thought more for sure.
21.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
435 in his career. So not great.
Yeah, that's not something that really grows over time either. So, he's a glue guy, though. Like you said, it's like if it's an MI or a best ball and you just need somebody that's going to be solid, Crawford is your guy. So we've got a few more hitters that are a little bit more boom-bust that could help you down the stretch, but we're going to take our second ad break and we'll be right back. All right, so Steve, we got a fun one here with Davis Schneider. This was definitely a name that I kind of double took at, and I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of this guy. How is he on the Blue Jays? And yeah, he was the 849th draft pick overall, which is in a round that no longer exists. Most have probably heard the story by now because he was a story over the weekend. Hit the homer on his debut ever, or first rookie ever, with 9 hits and 2 homers in his first 3 games. Davis Schneider then got moved up to hit third for the Blue Jays, which this was just like a Linsanity type of opening start for Schneider. Then he had an 0-for-4, a night off. And tonight, I know he had 2 walks earlier. Let's see if he's done anything since. Looks like 0-for-2 with 2 walks and a strikeout. So he's definitely coming back to earth, but what do we think of Davis Schneider? I mean, I got to say, when I looked at his minor league numbers, I was kind of impressed, to be honest, with kind of the profile for being such a deep name.
Yeah, at least this year, it's been like a pretty impressive breakout. A 969 OPS, 140 WRC+, 21 homers, 9 steals in 87 games at AAA for Toronto. Is no joke. I mean, it's just also crazy. Like, this guy has so many minor league at-bats dating back to 2017. So it's just a great story all around. Like, you love to see a guy get a chance at his age, 20? Wow, crazy. He must have been drafted right out of high school. He's only 24 and a half. He's been in the minors since 2017.
Yeah. It seems like that's too early to dub him like a quad A guy.
Yeah,
kind of
so
has that vibe.
Maybe it's even more impressive. Like, right, there's been a really good improvement in K rate this year. He's always been able to take a walk, but he's always been like a 30% strikeout guy. He was down to 22% in the minors this year, just 21% in the 17 at-bats, 19 plate appearances so far. I think that was heading into tonight. So, yeah, it's an interesting profile for sure. It's definitely something to at least ride the hot streak. And, hey, you know, we've seen these guys have later breakouts and been discounted before because there's such a extensive minor league track record that you don't buy into the most recent change. And the most recent change in AAA has been a really, really good hitter. I don't know if there's speed that'll translate, but it looks like the power could and has so far.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, maybe like a 250 guy, the power, as long as he gets the opportunity, I think he's got some decent pop. In 2022, for those wondering, so not this year, he actually played across three levels, high A, double A, and triple A, and had 16 homers, 17 steals, and 113 games. So pretty productive. I mean, granted, that's some lower level stuff in there, but I don't know if it's like a Brandon Drury comp in terms of, like,
I think that's a good call. Yeah.
Kind of average on the hit tool, a little bit of pop. Probably not speed that you can count on, and someone that you could maybe plug in at middle infield. So that's Schneider. We'll see if kind of the fairy tale continues. And I don't know in terms of opportunity, that's the other question, is what's going on with that? I guess they like spelled in Kevin Biggio, but was there an injury a trade that led to this? Just trying to look. Oh, Kevin Kiermaier's been on the bench.
He just went to the IL.
That's right.
I don't know what the corresponding move was for him, but because I think Kiermaier went on after he was called up, but it could have been one of those things where he was banged up. They didn't want to put him on the IL right away and then did, but it's a great lineup to be a part of, right? Even if it's not the
Was it Bichette? Maybe Bichette going on the IL.
Vlad or anything, but it's still a good lineup. But Bo Bichette went on the IL with a knee injury too. I think that was what the corresponding move was for Schneider a few days ago. So it looks like he's making progress, but if he hits, like, the Blue Jays are in the thick of a wild card race, they're going to need to play the guys that are hitting. So could be some opportunity there for Schneider, even longer than IL stints for a few of those guys.
Yeah, I think we'll stay tuned there. And then moving over to another up-and-comer, Matt Wallner for the Minnesota Twins. I believe, he got called back up mid-July. It's looked good as of late, the past couple weeks, at least from a power standpoint. Five homers in the last 2 weeks at 969 OPS. The average is a bit lower, a bit of a kind of a bopper with some strikeouts in the profile. But talk to me about Wallner, Steve. 11% rostered in Yahoo. What do we think of the Twins outfielder here?
This guy barrels up the baseball. Like, that's kind of what he does. And it might be like a better Jake Berger type of profile. Like, I don't know if he's going to strike out as much as Berger does. It's still not great. It's close to 30%, but able to take a walk, barrel rate in, you know, the 300 or the 56 bad ball events that he's have, 18%, 9.9 if you do it per plate appearance, so to bring in some of that plate discipline. It's still pretty good, despite the fact that he strikes out that much. Has a great max exit velocity. Like, there is no question that the power is there with Wallner, and in any league where you need homers, I am going to scramble to the wire to add Wallner. Even in like 12 team leagues, like this guy could just homer on any given night, like whenever he's playing. So, maybe he's not like the sub 200 Schwarber, Muncie, Jake Berger profile. I know Schwarber and Muncy are much better players and just having, you know, off years as far as BABIP and stuff. But I think there's a higher average floor is kind of what I'm saying for Wallner. than other guys. But, yeah, there's still going to be some issues with swinging this for him, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Kerry Carpenter is still pretty under-rostered for how hot he's been. I was kind of curious, those guys side by side. I guess you're getting a little more pop with Wallner, just a little bit.
But maybe. Carpenter, yeah, Carpenter's got some good pop too, but I think maybe a little bit better K rate for Carpenter, maybe a little better plate discipline. Yeah. But
man, surprised he's just 7% rostered for him. Yeah, I know he's not on the rundown, but still hitting 300 with an 846 OPS in the past month, and he's 7% rostered in Yahoo
that's,
League.
So. That's Carpenter or Wallner?
That's Kerry Carpenter. Oh, yeah.
I think I'd rather have Kerry Carpenter, right?
I think he plays a little more often, usually hits higher in the order. So, yeah, I think of the two, I would prefer Carpenter. But I would prefer this next guy over both of them. It's Nolan Jones, who we talked about 2 weeks ago on the Is It Legit? Hitter edition, and we very much thought it was one of our favorite ones. And in the 2 weeks since then, it's continued to look great. He's got a couple homers in that time, a 306 average, 937 OPS in the past 2 weeks, 14% barrel rate on the season. And yeah, in just 58 games, has 11 homers, 7 steals, hitting 280. So I know we just talked about him, Steve, so we probably don't need to spend a ton of time, but is this just kind of cementing the fact that Nolan Jones is not only a threat, but a threat in Coors and needs to be rostered more than in 22% of Yahoo leagues?
I think so. There's some K concerns, but I think he has the power and speed to overcome that. And there was also issues with the Rockies being the Rockies and like not playing him versus lefties when, like, his, I know it's a small sample, but his numbers have been very good versus lefties. I think he had 2 home runs on Tuesday, and that was with a lefty starter. I don't know if they're both off a lefty, but it was a game where he started versus a lefty. So now that the trade deadline has come and gone, like, the Rockies just seemingly are playing him every day and should. I think that it's only going to be a better from here. Sure, there's probably will be some average regression with striking out that much, but I think we said it in the Is It Legit episode, like, what better place to buoy your BABIP than Coors to fight an elevated K rate. So I like Nolan Jones a lot. I was able to just add him in my home league too, actually this week, which was nice. So I think that all systems are go for Jones, and I definitely like him the most out of those three guys. I would agree.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, want to make money making picks on MLB games? Then you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST, all one word, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. So you got some extra bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's UnderdogFantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 and older or 19 and older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. And in Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, Steve, we're rounding out with a couple catchers here. And Freddie Fermin on the Royals has been really hot as of late. And honestly, the whole season, he's now kind of playing alongside our boy there with completely blanking on the
Salvi.
Best catcher.
Salvi
Perez. And yeah, he's been playing with Salvi, either getting at first base or DHing. And yeah, this Freddie Fermin on the season has an 872 OPS and a 305 batting average just in 50 games. But what's impressive to me, Steve, is that it's been against lefties and righties. So it's not like a big platoon guy. The barrel rate's 12%. Is Freddie Freeman a legit two catcher league option the rest of the way?
I think so. I think he is a really, really good bat. And rest of the way, I think he's going to be a catcher target of mine, depending on like what the playing situation is for Kansas City next year. He seems like a really, really nice bat. He homered again tonight. I think that gives him 9 on the year in what 51 games now. That's pretty impressive. Like, you know, I always know I tell myself I'm going to try to invest hot in a catcher and not have to worry about it, but there are some impressive profiles. I like him and Logan Ohapi next year. I think they're two deep sleeper catchers. And Freeman now, if you need the help, like I know Salvi's playing. I know he was banged up, but he is playing. But still, I think that there is some good opportunity. And like in two catcher leagues, like, you could always use an improvement if you have invested like in two top end catchers, right? Like I know this guy and the next guy that we'll talk about are two guys that you want to consider that are out there. And in a lot of leagues like NFBC, I saw that they're still out there this week. So I like Freeman a lot and think that he is a good catcher for this year and going forward.
Yeah, this is the time of year when we were once talking about Jonah Heim. And yeah, I think Freddie Freeman could be our next one there, Steve. I like that. Yeah, just a 21.6% strikeout rate is not terrible with the pop that he provides. And yeah, the hit tool looks pretty good too. So I like it for Freeman. And then moving over to the other catcher, it's Ryan Jeffers, who with the Brewers is splitting time with the Twins. Is splitting time with Christian Vasquez. But the playing time's really ramped up in the past month. He has a .391 average with a .1233 OPS, 5 homers in that time, and 3 steals. So Jeffers, he's hit as high as 5th in the order. Does not play every day. He's splitting time. So Freeman has played in 8 of his last 10 games. Jeffers is playing more like 2 out of every 3 games. But he's definitely on a hot streak. What are your thoughts on Jeffers, Steve?
Yeah, another guy that like talked about changing some mechanics and trying to step into more power. And we've seen power stretches like this from him before, but another guy that I think is a great option, especially in two catcher leagues. The power is definitely there. I don't know if he's going to hit close to 400 like he has over the last month, but is definitely an option. Right. If you have a guy like, I don't know, like I would rather have both these guys than like Yasmani Grandal, who I know is like a popular 2C in a lot of leagues. So there's definitely guys that I could see rostering wanting to drop in favor of these two guys is essentially what I'm saying.
Yeah, barrel rate's a little bit better for Jeffers. Yeah, the hit tool's not as good. He strikes out a bit more. But, yeah, some of these homers are complete no-doubters. So I think it's a good one here. And, yeah, Jeffers, much different-looking catchers. Jeffers is 6'4", 235, and Freddie Freeman is 5'9". So, yeah,
oh, I love that.
7 inches of difference
there. Catcher, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, me too. It's great. So, yeah, those are both two good catcher options. Just some add-ins, some honorable mentions. Like we mentioned, Cary Carpenter still very much under-rostered and can help a lot of teams. Drew Waters is another one that's shown some flashes for the Royals. Alec Burleson is getting a little bit more time against righties, at least, for the Cardinals, and has looked really good. And Brandon Belt as well is kind of a staple with that lineup as well in Toronto. Brandon Belt's been looking good as of late. Steve, to kind of round out, I know we're the hour is up, but this time of year is also an opportunity for some of the rookies to get a cup of coffee, and a lot of times that can have the most upside compared to what's on the wire. Who are some names you want to kind of highlight from potential rookie stashes the rest of the way?
We saw it last year with Gunnar Henderson and Corbin Carroll, and both of those guys were like decent. I think Carroll had like 4 home runs and 2 steals or something like that. So they were helpful players, and I know a lot of teams at this point now want to wait to like that beginning of September period so that the players still have rookie eligibility for next year. And then they're awarded the draft pick if they win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, like, they'll that's do exactly like the,
what's happening with Carroll.
The 40 man.
Yeah. Like they call him up on the day where they cannot accumulate enough at bats to exceed their rookie eligibility. So it might be a few weeks, but there's some really, really interesting hitters here and pitchers too that I think are worth like minor stashes if you have them, or if you're able to. You know, in an FBC league, if you have a stash spot or other leagues like that, if you have a good lead and want to save something for the playoffs or something like that. Jackson Holliday has just been absolutely amazing for Baltimore and a team that's in it. I could see them calling him up for like a reinforcement. I know Adam Frazier has been like pretty good. Has actually been a deep league relevant and have good numbers, but Jackson Holliday could be a lot better than Adam Frazier. They still have Jorge Mateo on that roster, who despite his amazing April, he's been absolutely horrible ever since. There is some, you could talk yourself into Jackson Holliday being on the Orioles sooner rather than later. Another guy, and then I'll kick it to you, but Jackson Churio has just been absolutely insane. After a slowish start when he was promoted to AA in the middle of the year, but like he has just been, I think maybe even better than Holliday, and that's Holliday's had a 950 OPS at AA since he's been called up, and Churio has just been basically hitting a homer like every night. So again, a team that is absolutely starved for offense, like I'm surprised he's not up already. Maybe they're just waiting for that September, but the Brewers need every bit of offense that they can get, so I wouldn't be surprised if Churio was up sooner rather than later. Like, you see these guys, they're both at AA, but it happens more often than it did in the past that guys are now promoted straight from AA to the majors. Like, once you're at AA, like, you could be called up, in my mind.
Yeah, especially as hot as they've been. Yeah, that's a good one. Holliday's got some serious pop from the left side there, so I love that name. The homer call with the Cardinal, Mason Winn, with Donovan out for the rest of the season, and DeJong getting moved at the deadline. Right now they have Tommy Edman at shortstop, but honestly, like, Jordan Walker been struggling. I think that, you know, with the Cardinals pretty much out of the picture, they're probably going to get Winn up right around September to give the fans something and give Winn the cup of coffee. He's been on fire lately.
A quick note on him. He did just go to the minor league IL with or I don't know if he actually was moved to the IL, but he had like a minor glute strain. Like, it seems very, very minor. Cautionary. I think they did move him to the IL, but there isn't like a for Winn, I would have thought that his call up could happen like any day now. Maybe that might just put that on a bit of hold, just because he has been so good. But I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would think Winn is definitely up in September, like the latest.
Yeah, the defense is phenomenal, and that's a bummer. I did not see. Oh, so he got pulled a couple nights ago. I don't know. Is there a report on it, Steve, of like how bad it is? I'm not seeing that anywhere.
I haven't. It was on Rates and Barrels that they were talking about it on their prospect episode that he did get hurt. And I think there was a tweet posted in the Discord about it as well.
Okay. Yeah, so that's on hold. But, yeah, he's been on fire. In July, 359 average. The OPS was well over 1,100. A few nights ago, right before the injury, homered and reached 5 times in Memphis for Mason Winn. So that's a really good one at shortstop for the Cardinals that I think we'll see as soon as he's healthy and probably in September.
He's part of the story that you're telling yourself for the Cardinals for their quick turnaround next year, right? Like a good Mason Winn, like a growth from Walker, who's I know has been struggling, but I think it's still been like a pretty impressive overall rookie year. And then
the
pitching class for free agents is just super impressive. So, you know, we've seen teams buy pitching staffs, and like the Cardinals are obviously desperate for pitching. So I could see them dipping their toe there, having a turnaround.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely keeping Arenado and Goldie. It's a 1 year down and back right up in the mix.
I agree.
Yeah, that's at least what I'm telling myself. Jumping over to save, Steve, I know we've got a short list here. Kyle Finnegan for the Nationals, I know people thought that he was going to move around the deadline, but him staying, and he's been really playing or throwing kind of as well as he ever has, and is putting together a nice season line. So I think that's a really good one. And then Trevor May, I believe, has been bagging saves out in Oakland, right? And that's one that is available, at least in some of my leagues.
Yeah, got another one.
Okay, so yeah, he is on a hot streak now with what, maybe like three or four saves in the past week. So yeah, that's Trevor May. Anybody else you wanted to highlight as kind of cheap desperation save ads?
Yeah, a few names. Gregory Santos in Chicago on the White Sox has really good stuff. Picked up a few saves, was on the bereavement list over the weekend. So I don't think he has the White Sox most recent save, but he was activated, I believe, Wednesday today as we record this. And Santos has some decent stuff and some K upside and has been pretty good and secured a few saves after Graveman was traded and it was announced that Liam Hendricks is undergoing Tommy John surgery. So there should be some leeway there. And the White Sox are bad, but they're not like horrible. There are still some save opportunities there. A few other guys, Dominic Leone in Los Angeles of Anaheim. The closer there, it's Carlos Estevez has been absolutely horrible. I think since like the trade deadline, he's blown like the last three saves and given up like 10 runs or something like that after not blowing a save all year. So Dominic Leone got a save last night on Tuesday. He did give up a two-run homer, I believe, too. But he got the most recent save for the Angels, so just something to keep an eye on. And then Matt Brash might be more ancillary saves. They have
Munoz, right?
Munoz there, who is absolutely filthy in his own right. But Brash has been insane, like has an amazing K/9 and should be second in line, and who knows, maybe they just mix things up to get both of them saves in Seattle. They've been a team that has, you know, used leverage roles and things like that. But Brash is so good that maybe he's the first guy to get leverage there. I wonder if they move him back into a starter role just because he's been so good. But who knows? They tried it out. Looked good for like the first two starts in 2022, if you remember that. But he's been great in the bullpen and could be an ancillary save option.
Yeah, he got a save a few nights ago and a couple wins as well that he vultured. So, yeah, the Mariners are hot, so that's a good one. But Munoz is, he's the must-add, but I'm pretty sure he's gone. And
yeah, he was gone as soon as that trade went down where they traded Seawald, so.
Okay, guys, that rounds us out for episode 112. As always, appreciate you guys tuning in, especially during the grind, just scratching and clawing out there. Good luck to all your teams. Steve, good luck to you as well if you are still in the hunt. I am in third in my home league, and unfortunately, I'm starting to feel that quote-unquote relief that you talked about where it's like I'm starting to accept that I'm not expecting a title here. It would just be a nice bonus if my team got hot. But what are you going to do? You know, you get the injury bug at the wrong time. You kind of got to throw your hands up, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's never too late. You know, I know I sound like the idiot now complaining about how bad my team was and now back in it. But it's tight in my home league. There's like three teams tied for third within like the live standings right now. I'm one of them, so things change quickly. I got a few trade deadlines coming up, which is fun. Still battling in that turf league. I was first yesterday, back down to third today. So really would like to bring home that title because there's a bunch of other analysts in that whole Earth universe fantasy league. So that would be cool. But been in that mix basically all season. have Trevor May there, so picked up a save today, and that's helpful.
There you go. It all counts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week. I'll actually be on with Adam Howe this weekend on The Wire this Saturday.
And we should have a guest lined up for next week too. So you'll see.
Got action.
Yeah. Tune into on The Wire. That's awesome, man. I'll be definitely listening as I usually do. But always exciting when you're on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, thanks for talking baseball with us.
Thanks, guys. Later.